Footy Roundup back in action, finals edition, Rob Serjanik, Matt Tidcombe. Matty, we each got a team right here. Our finals have been set with Argentina versus Germany.
Yeah, before the tournament, our predictions, I had Germany in the final, you had Argentina. So one for one, we'll see if we're committed to our finals pick from the get-go.
I did say Argentina to make the final, make for the record, final, not to win it.
That is also true. I had Germany winning it, but we're consoling on our official final prediction towards the end of the show, but we'll see where it goes.
Looking back on how both teams got here, very different games.
Yeah, definitely.
Germany-Brazil, that game, I don't think anyone foresaw that massacre taking place.
No, I mean, I've seen a few guys somehow lucked out on some bets on that game. And
we'll say lucked out.
Taking a lot of money home, but no, anyone in their right mind didn't predict a 7-1 thrashing of Brazil from the Germans.
And to set the record straight, I think from both of our perspectives, anyone saying Silva and Neymar is the reason they lost here, I think, has completely lost the plot. It might have been a closer game, but I don't see...
It might have been 5-0.
Yeah, 5-2, maybe Neymar gets a couple, but no way they're winning this game, regardless of who is there, the way the Germans played and the way Brazil played as a team, and tactically as well, actually.
Right, I mean, this, I am officially going on the record, and I've said this already, this is by far the greatest World Cup performance of all time. In the history of the World Cup tournament.
Would you counter it with the poorest performance for Brazil as well? When you consider the stakes and where it is?
I mean, it has to be part of the reason, but I think just overall Germany, it was a massacre. It is just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you know, Müller scores after 11 minutes. You're like, okay, well, 1-0 Germany. We can't say we're surprised.
Closer takes the record.
Takes the record at 16 goals and it's 2-0. Like, okay, a little not a good start. And then, you know, 5-6 minutes later, it's 5-0. It's like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, I think once that third goal went in,
I called it over on Twitter. At that point. After that, it was just how bad is this going to get?
I mean, four goals on home soil in 6 minutes, you can see.
It's just incredible.
The most ridiculous thing I heard, and I tend to agree with Sid Sixero on Twitter, saying it's like they're playing FIFA 14 on easy.
Right, and that's exactly it, right? I mean, it was...
The D was just shutting off, and they're passing it into open nets.
Exactly. Germany almost seemed like it didn't have to try. That's how impressed they were, but also I guess how bad Brazil were at the same time.
It takes two to tango. I don't want to take too much away from the German performance, but like I've mentioned to you on countless shows, an utter lack of inspiration from Brazil. I at no point have been sold on this team whatsoever. I know I picked them to win, Matty, but I was telling you each and every show, each and every discussion, this Brazil team is nothing special.
Yeah,
this Brazil team is on borrowed time. You could argue they should have lost to Chile, easily could have lost to Colombia, could have lost to us or Mexico. Like, Brazil has not been convincing at all. Their convincing victory is basically smashing Cameroon, which pretty much everyone took a turn at doing.
Yeah, right. Just Brazil just didn't look, they didn't look at all in place. I don't know if the Neymar thing affected them. I don't know how much of an effect it had. Like, the whole holding the jersey before the game.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it.
I didn't like it either.
You're putting, like, faith and too much into, like, hope of someone who's not there. Like, with who's there.
And I think you're also making excuses from the get-go as well. It's
like a defeatist attitude. It felt more defeatist than inspiring to me, that whole
Neymar
charade.
Did we see Argentina holding up a Sergio Aguero shirt because he's not fit right now? Like, no, I mean...
Or Di Maria.
Right? I mean, come on, like... You
got to be a team is more than one guy. A lot of people were critical, you know, about Uruguay without Suarez as nothing and that they don't deserve to progress if, like, they rely so much on one player. You can't have it both ways. In my opinion, if that's an average Brazilian fan's perspective of Brazil, then Brazil aren't that great either if Neymar is the whole team.
Right. And, I mean, Neymar, he had four goals in the tournament, and I didn't think he was all that great, if I'm honest with you. But then you look at what else they had up front.
Fred
was possibly the
save
worst.
For his dive against Croatia. What did he do this whole tournament?
Probably the worst player this whole tournament. Yeah. He was bad. And then you're throwing out Bernard in the semifinal. That didn't really strike me as
how disappointing was
smart.
Hulk too. I think he was one of your kind of wild cards at the beginning.
Hulk is. I'm a big fan of Hulk.
Yeah,
I watch a little Russian football, and I quite like his game. And he's played well previously for Brazil, but he was invisible in this whole tournament. I mean, not as bad as Fred, but he was not great. I mean, and then
it was just the utter over reliance for me. Everything that happened went through Neymar, and when he wasn't there, even like you said, in a limited capacity, because he wasn't super great, he was above average, but like without him, they create nothing.
I'm honestly looking at the Brazil roster right now, and looking at it, I don't see anyone here who was like, oh, wow, they had a great tournament.
Well, Oscar was great against Croatia, completely invisible sense.
But exactly. Yeah. I mean, I can't sit here and be like, that player had a great tournament all tournament long. Like, maybe David Luiz, I could argue, had a pretty decent tournament.
As much as he was at fault quite a bit, though, in that semis as well.
Right, but I mean, you gotta give the credit here to Germany. I mean, I think it got to the point where it was, after when it got to like 4-0, it was past embarrassment. It was just, You had no words. I honestly actually rubbed, sat there kind of laughing because I just didn't know whatever reaction to have. It was, I really,
my Brazilian
didn't know what
buddy messaged me the same thing. He's like, and told me, you can't do anything but laugh right now because it's just so pathetic.
Right. I mean, you and I have a good friend in our program who flew down, who's from Brazil, who flew down to this game to see it live. And
after, yeah, in Brazil, what, hadn't lost 64 competitive matches in a row and he was treated to that.
I know. And it's, to me, it's one of those things, like, as a Brazilian, of course they're devastated and stuff, but I think in 6 months, you'll take a step back and realize you probably just watched the greatest performance in World Cup history.
Yeah, and as awful as you performed, as it is to digest. An awful tournament for them is still a semifinals. I mean,
yeah,
realistically, I'm hearing all this discussion, like, is Brazil going to, you know, reinvent the system, or like all that ridiculous discussions of hockey summits here where everyone has a conniption and a heart attack every time Canada doesn't win something, which is insane because you're one of the best countries. Brazil's the same deal. They're going to bounce back. Like, does anyone in the right mind not think they're going to win a World Cup again? Like, come on.
The big question is how they do in the third place playoff game, which we'll discuss a bit later.
Yeah,
but I mean, how do they rebound from that? You know, Scolari, I mean, he's already admitted I do like Scolari. His like admittance of how bad they were, like, he didn't prepare them, he's taken this on the shoulder and said, this is my fault, which I respect tremendously, because there's a lot of managers in the world who'd be like, wow, my players didn't perform, and we had the right tactics.
See,
you know, he took it on the shoulders pretty well.
I don't like Scolari. What I see from him most of the time, and I'll give you the credit on this occasion, he does seem to be taking ownership of it, but I just remember after that opening match, the only two people in the world who insisted that was a penalty were Fred and Scolari. At that moment, all Scolari had to be like, you know, we got a little bit of fortune today, happy to move on, and I don't think any, not just Croatian, but neutral fan would have been on his case about it, but to pretend it was legitimate is like you're just blind or you're just pretending to not be aware, and I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and in this case they just got bludgeoned so badly. How does he not take some ownership?
Right. Yeah, I mean, he has to admit it's my fault, I guess.
Defer some attention to try to get the players' minds right for the next game, even.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how they respond in that third place playoff game.
But at the same token, the other semifinals, Matt, just as dull for different reasons. Scoreless. I do think Argentina deserved it on the whole. They created a little bit more. Holland, for all their offensive firepower, they had 240 minutes without a goal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Costa Rica game was they should have honestly pounded 3 or 4 in that game, but they just couldn't get it done. But this Argentina game, they didn't look good.
When did they get their first shot? Like the 88th minute?
Yeah,
and they were playing six defenders, 6-3-1 at a few points in the game.
6-3-1 going on for a while.
Come on, like, they're going to win the game offensively, not defensively. You know, Argentina's been struggling for the most part to actually score goals.
Yep.
You and I have discussed it. The strength of the Dutch is creating goals, and they're sitting back waiting for penalties. It felt like, which was insane.
Right. It sounded like the Costa Rica strategy, right?
Yeah, again, they're on par with Argentina. They're not playing some power that they can't compete against. I just thought, as much as Van Gaal got all the credit, I think he has to take some blame for the tactics in this. Granted, the players are on the field, but he pulled all the right strings against Costa Rica and not in this game. I mean, where was Tim Krul for the shootout this time?
Yeah, it was curious to see them use that last substitution in extra time and be like, well, this week we're not going to use, this game we're not going to use our substitution to pull the
goalie and next game,
it.
Too.
Yeah, it was...
You and I were talking about this actually via text during Holland's previous game against Costa Rica, and everyone was like, and it was a good move. I mean, ultimately it got the result. Yeah, but you and I discussed long-term, should Cillessen need to be called into action here to make a big save, to show up, should it be penalties? Where's his mentality going to be at? Where's his psyche going to be at? Does his coach and his teammates trust him?
Right.
It seems like the answer ends up being no, and to some degree, maybe he didn't trust himself. He got his hands on a couple and couldn't pull it in.
Well, that's the thing, right? I think his confidence was shook. I mean, he made a couple of good saves in the game.
Yeah.
And as someone who's played in goal for a long while, like, it's easier to play, you know, naturally in a game than it is in penalty shootouts. Penalties are tough, but he didn't look like he had any confidence. I think you could almost look at him and be like, man, I wonder if my manager thinks I should have, you know, been subbed here. And I think it showed, because like you said, he got his hands on a couple of them, and the second one he got his hands on, he really should have had. I think it was actually the one that won the shootout too. So I mean, he really could have had a couple of penalties. I mean, Holland missed 2 of their 4 that they took, and you know, Argentina buried all 4.
And so, even as they started, like, they start with Vlahar taking the first one. I'm a big advocate, like, get your best guy out there. I know people want to save them for the clutch, but if you don't score, there is no clutch. Like,
exactly.
You need to get him out there. You're going to leave a key shooter who doesn't even get a shot because you put the wrong player out there in the first place.
I always find it comical how often in penalty shootouts, 75-80% of the time, you see a defender going up first. And
you know they're going to miss. I texted my brother and I said, he's going to miss this shot. bam, missed it right away, and you're already behind the eight ball.
Where are these high-profile strikers and midfielders who bury goals for fun and
well, you're saving them for the flight home now at this point.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, these guys should be stepping up, and it's, you know, they just hide in penalty shootouts, and, you know, managers like the defenders says, oh, yeah, I'll take it, because, you know, defenders, you know, see a goal and think, Christ, I might actually have a shot in here, right?
So, it's the same reason I'm not a huge fan. I know, like, you know, Jan Huntelaar is pretty good and he's a good shooter, but why not have him out there and Van Persie? I know you're going to have to change the structure and the markup.
Well, it was Huntelaar who buried the game-winning penalty against Mexico as well.
But why not have both of them as an option? I don't like Van Persie coming off with 6-7 minutes to go in a game when you know he's almost a surefire bet to get a goal.
Right, exactly, right?
I mean, you're going to penalties, like, have your best penalty takers out there. I felt that was another failed strategy.
After Vlaar, they used Robin Schneider and Dirk Kuyt. So, I mean, Schneider was the guy who missed. So, you know, those would be three of the five guys.
Yeah, those are okay.
You know, Van Persie and
Schneider's
Huntelaar
miss doesn't hurt so much if you start with a Huntelaar or Van Persie. Probably.
Right. No, exactly.
Like, what did Argentina? They answered with Messi right after Vlaar.
But then who stepped up next? Garay, the defender.
Yeah.
It's just...
I don't get it.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me either. But I think on the overall here, Argentina did deserve...
They did. They did a little bit more. And Matt, as much as you've been saying they haven't been playing sexy football, they not 1 second of this tournament have they been behind, and they've won every single game. They're the only team that's done that.
Yeah, I mean, on that record,
you can't argue with the results. Yeah.
I guess, but they've won every game by a goal, or in penalties. So it's not been, you know, it's not like they've been cruising through. And like, you know, the Iran game was a last minute goal, and you know they haven't. They've looked good, but I don't think they've looked great.
No,
like,
they haven't looked great.
I'm still not convinced on Argentina here. They got to get it together here in the final because the way Germany are playing.
Although the Germans will be the favorite for sure. No
the thing
question.
With Germany as well is like, who would have bet that Algeria would be in the game where they had a real run for their money?
And Ghana.
And yeah, Ghana too as well. And I guess they drew with the USA as well.
Maybe they switch off when they think the competition's not as intense.
Maybe. A lot of teams do that, right? Like they kind of... They sometimes get lower to the opposition's level when they're playing a lesser team.
They just think 75% is good enough. In the World Cup, anytime you're not giving 100%, you put yourself at a risk for an early flight home.
No, no doubt. The other thing as well of Germany, I guess, is just quickly touching on Miroslav Klose. 16 goals, new World Cup record.
What a way to break a record.
Yeah, absolutely. In that game, of all things as well.
Breaks a Brazilian record on Brazilian soil in a semifinal in a game featuring Brazil.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Really,
like, it's got to be salt on the wounds like for all Brazilian supporters.
All 16 goals he scored in his World Cup career have all been in the penalty area.
Yeah.
I think the average is maybe like 8 yards out, 9 yards out. Like
he's a goal scorer, though.
He
the
is.
Poacher
the
mentality through and through. Him and Brazil's Ronaldo, to me, of our generation, I guess you could say, have been by far the best strikers. I don't think Klose gets enough credit for what he's done on the World Cup stage. Yeah, you know, the German teams are strong, but there's a lot of other strong teams.
I don't
think
it's just because he's maybe such a high-profile player.
Yeah,
in a way,
and
right?
He's not like even a high-profile personality. He's a pretty laid-back guy who just kind of fits in as part of the team, but
do you ever,
crazy efficient.
Do you have a question I have here moving forward is, Thomas Müller has 10 World Cup goals now.
Yep.
He's 24 years old.
Yep.
He has a final to play. Obviously, as does Klose, and I'm sure Klose will probably get the start again after his performance against Brazil. But let's move him forward to 2018, where you know Müller will be 28. I mean, Müller's got two, if not three, World Cups left in him. I mean,
I was just having this conversation the other day. I think if he stays healthy, he's going to beat the record. Absolutely.
And I don't think he's going to beat it.
He might beat it by three, four goals.
He might end up with at least 20 plus when he's all said and done. That's obviously getting ahead of ourselves here. But
which is wild as a not out and out number nine either. That
I know,
that
makes it even crazier.
Goals.
And it's just.
And Schürrle stole one from him, actually, too.
Yeah, I mean, Schürrle had a couple goals in that game. It was. Müller is just such a good player. And I guess we've got to discuss if he's going to win the Golden Boot here, too.
He's one back of.
James Rodriguez.
I still call him James.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's too funny to see a Colombian jersey that just says James on the back. I think best case for Müller here will probably be a tie.
Yeah,
He'll share the spoils, which he also did in 2010.
Right.
The tendency that I've seen is 6 goals, you're almost always assured at minimum to be sharing the Golden Boot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he deserves it.
Yeah.
I mean, so does Rodriguez. I mean, he's been part of the tournament, I would have to say.
Yeah, barring something that maybe another 2 or 3 goal performance
if
from Müller in the finals.
If Müller bangs on a hat-trick, then we got a real discussion here. But I think right now...
Or what about a Messi hat-trick in the final, the Kappa World Cup title for them, 7 goals.
Right, that's true. I guess another thing, Rob, we spoke about this quickly before the show, but does Messi winning a World Cup for you cement him as the greatest player in the world, like ahead of Ronaldo? Does that cement the decision for you? For me, it doesn't. But
winning it or winning it and contributing heavily to the win?
Just winning. Yeah. Whether he scores three goals or doesn't score at all.
Questionable. If he scores a goal or two and they win the game 2-0, I would say yes. I think Ronaldo and Messi are that close. They've each won, you know, the Champions League, the domestic type things. They've each been the focal point of failed national team experiments, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I honestly think that it's deep down, Ronaldo is hoping very much that Argentina does not win this World
Cup.
Yeah,
you're probably right. I mean, for me,
it's a healthy competition between the two, but make no mistake, it's a competition between these two guys.
It is, there's no doubt. It's going to be until the day they both retire. For me, if Messi scored a hat-trick and Argentina win, I'd still pick Ronaldo as my guy. But, I mean, that's just the way. I just think he's a better all-around player.
I agree with you. We've had this discussion. We're both kind of pro-Ronaldo. You a little bit more aggressively than me. I'm maybe 55, 45 in favor of Ronaldo.
I would say more like 65.
There's
35.
Enough of a good performance here for Messi and Argentina winning being, you know, the asterisk here. It would sway me, I think, barely. I might give 55-45 Messi if that happens.
Yeah, it's...
Ronaldo will have to answer at a Euro or something.
It really is a toss-up. I mean, they're the two best players. They are the two best players in the world. It's just who really... It's
a style
individual.
And eye test sometimes, too.
Exactly,
who
right?
Like, yeah.
Messi does some things better, and Ronaldo... Rob's chair just fell, collapsed a little here, so apologies.
I'm still here,
for that.
I'm coming back up.
But for me, Ronaldo, I guess, is just... I think he's just an overall battle player. But, I mean, that's a discussion for another day, but I just... You know, it's always worth interesting, is winning a World Cup cement your legacy as the best player in the world, so... Another stat I have here for you, Rob. Two stats for you. First of all, let's touch on this one. There's been 167 goals scored in this World Cup. The record's 171. We have two games left. You see it being broken?
Yeah, I think it will, barely. Maybe by one or two goals.
Yeah, 172, 173.
What's funny about that stat to me is all the scoring happened in the group stage and in Germany's absolute thrashing of Brazil. Like, if you look at the other games, scoreless overtime, penalties. Yeah. Like, the well dried up so hard, I felt like I was watching two different tournaments.
Yeah, you're almost right. It's also funny, like, you take out how many goals we have, and we honestly could be up to, like, towards 190 goals in this tournament. Even if you just threw in some 1-0s and 2-1s in there and 2-0s.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good the goal scoring has been. There's been probably half a dozen 0-0s. If not a few more now in this tournament, and you consider how many games are played, they really could be approaching 200. But I agree. I do think they're gonna
nil nillers. I like that.
Yeah,
it's an
English term.
Little Reggie Niller over here.
The other stat I have for you, Rob, and it pains me greatly to say this, and I'm sure you're gonna a few friends, my friend, good buddy of mine in South Africa, told me this stat. Germany, in that game against Brazil, Rob, scored more goals in that one game than England have scored in their last two World Cups combined. It's
not impressive for the English, that's for sure.
It hurts the feelings. I don't like that stat, but you know, looking at it non-neutrally, it's an impressive stat, though. I guess it also shows you how bad England perform at World Cups, but...
Well, you could still hang your hat on that you were the only team to take a legit point off of Costa Rica.
That is also true. We took a point from Costa Rica. The only team obviously they did.
It was the only game that meant nothing to them, but...
But, yeah, that's true. But anyway, I will hang my head on that there.
Matt, I want to go back to the Dutch semifinal game against Argentina, just to go in a little bit more depth here. I want to, as a former goalie yourself, and we were talking about the psychology of both goaltenders, Cillessen and...
Krul,
that's correct. How do you not go back to him? Like, I mean, you send the message to your team and fine, you trust Cillessen outside of penalties.
Yeah.
But the very next game when you just did that and as a strategy and it worked, how do you deviate from that the very next game and expect him mentally to be all there? And like, what's Krul thinking on the sideline? Like, maybe I make the difference here again and we're in the finals.
Yeah,
like, it's the most insane move after an absolute overall genius performance from Van Gaal, how he doesn't follow that up.
It was genius, but lucky, I think, as well.
Yeah, to some extent.
I think you told me earlier, like, his Krul's like stats at Newcastle penalty-wise aren't all that impressive. So maybe Van Gaal saw something in training he really liked.
Like a psychological ploy just to screw with Costa Rica, kind
of. I think for Cillessen, it is a case of how does he rate me, basically. And the goalkeeper is the number one position where you have to have confidence because you never get subbed. Like, you genuinely never get subbed.
I told you it happened. I've been 22 years watching soccer. I've never seen that.
You can be losing 8-0 and you're still not getting subbed. I've been there. I mean,
it sucks.
I played in goals when we've been losing 10-11-0, and it's like you're just out there just getting pounded, right? I mean, you just...
Because you got to save the sub.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it worked, but then it's... And it worked, and that's fine. But then if it worked the first time, you got to do it the second
time. That's what I'm saying here is, like, how do you not follow up the same move? Like, all you're doing is setting Silasen up for additional pressure and to fail, basically. At best, he's going to match a backup goalie. At worst, everyone's going to vilify him and say, why didn't we go to the guy who got us here?
And I think,
like,
it
you're setting
him.
Himself up to fail.
Because he's out there and he's doing his best and he doesn't get the job done. And he, you know, as we mentioned earlier in the show, he probably should have had two of those penalties. And his confidence, I think, was shot because he's in the goal. You know, when his side are taking the penalties himself and he's standing there, he's thinking, man, does my manager believe in me here? You know, does he really want me out here? When last game he just got subbed, you know, literally with a minute left. It was...
The irony of the situation for me is if Kroll comes in again, and even if he fails, nobody blames him. He's rescued them once. Right. Nobody blames Silasen because it's out of his control.
Yeah.
Nobody blames Van Gaal because it was a brilliant move that worked previously. Now you don't bring him in and they blame everybody.
Yeah.
Krul didn't speak up enough maybe to get the sub. Van Gaal opts not to do it. And Silasen's out there getting, like, villainized as not coming through when Krul did. It just made no sense. Like, one way, like,
you
no one gets to blame
one
and now,
way.
Exactly.
You
gotta,
say,
don't
you
keep waffle
Silasen,
on it.
Silasen both times, or you say, we did it once with Krul, it worked.
That's our strategy
Let's
going
do
forward.
It again.
Exactly.
You've got to pick both. You can't waffle between either.
It has to be, tactically really speaking, the most bizarre thing I've seen.
Realistically, like, Van Persie coming off, does he know himself that really he may have to stick around here and, like, just battle for him. I don't know. Was he injured? Was he tired?
That's what I mean. Even if he's tired, like, everyone was tired. Like, just play, like,
minutes.
You know, you can drop Robben a little bit further back and, you know, Jan Huntelaar and Van Persie can play together a little bit. Now you have a better arsenal of weapons for the shootout.
Right.
He's not too tired, I'm sure, to bag a goal in the shootout.
Yeah, no.
And then if you don't do that and you don't bring in the star goalie, it's just, I don't know. My mind's completely perplexed. I'd be pretty frustrated as a Dutch fan finishing, you know, second to the good here again. As all, it seems always the bridesmaid, never the bride for the Netherlands, unfortunately.
Two good back-to-back World Cups for Holland, though.
Yeah.
I mean, a final loss and a semi-final
and
loss.
And no hardware.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right? I mean, you know, the Euros, I guess, is where they have to look next. But
yeah.
And especially with Spain's dominance ending. I mean, quick detour here. Euro 2016 is wide open, by the way. Wide open.
Well, Belgium will be back. You got to think the youngsters and, you know, England and Croatia
France
should be improved.
France greatest tournament. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be good. Germany as well, obviously.
Maybe Russia if they dump Capello. So, Matt, what do you foresee in these final two games now? Let's start with the third place.
Yep.
I think both countries' psyche and mentality can be rightly questioned here. For Brazil, it's Brazil. In Brazil, it's a you know, win it all or nothing for them, basically. Neymar is still out. Silva will be back. For the Dutch, here we are again falling short. Another heartbreaker in a semifinal shootout. Do they even care about a third place game?
Right.
I give a little bit of an edge to Brazil because I think they feel the need to restore at least a little bit of pride. It's not going to take, you know, the crappy taste out of their collective mouths, but at least a medal here and winning your last game on home soil saves some pride and some face. I think they'll get up for the game just a little bit more than the Dutch, and I think it'll be a pretty dull game, to be honest, because I think both sides are going to be pretty broken for falling short.
Well, both their semi-final losses were so devastating in two completely different ways that I don't think we're going to see a cracker here. I'm going to actually take Holland. I don't know why, if I'm honest. I just feel maybe
Brazil were just torn
apart.
Yeah.
They were just absolutely wrecked. Holland, they were close at the end of the day, you know, in retrospect, you know, a penalty shootout loss. And I, you know, obviously Brazil won't have Neymar still. They don't have Silva, Thiago Silva. And the Brazilian squad as well, like up front, Fred hasn't done anything. Hulk's not been great.
Yeah, the options are limited.
I'm not seeing much. Whereas, you know, Holland had some good performances from Van Persie, Robin, Schneider. Huntelaar's contributed a little. Memphis Depay has played quite well. So, yeah, I think overall Holland, they're going to be devastated. You know, they're not in the final for a second straight World Cup. But I think overall they might be more... They're basically not as heartbroken as probably maybe why they might win this game.
It has to come down to motivation for a game like this.
Yeah, it has to do. I mean, every time we have a third place game, it's always like, why do we have it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a money maker thing, right? I mean, it's you know, TV rights again, and people just want to see these clubs play. I think for us as a player, it's not something you particularly want to take part in.
I think for
you know,
the,
it's like saying like in the you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs, like the two teams lose in the West,
the Hawks
Western
and the
Conference.
Habs.
Yeah, they just meet up in the.
I think the Hawks and Habs would get a lot of views out
it
here,
would.
Though. Yeah,
but it's the what I'm saying is, I guess, you know, you wouldn't see those teams
Sure.
You know, make, you know, oh, let's just play a third place game. Let's use the third best team in the NHL this year or the NBA or whatever.
But they do it in other tournaments like the Olympics and stuff.
Yeah, and the Confederations Cup they do it in as well.
And in a sick way, I mean, you almost rather win the bronze than the silver because you at least win that medal.
Well, exactly. That's always a debate I've had with other people. It's like, what would you rather do, lose in the final or, you know, win the third place game? I think in a way you kind of would maybe lose the final because you made the final.
Yeah, and it's still a silver, better.
It's a great performance.
I just think as a competitor, it feels nicer to win a medal than get one for losing.
Yeah, and that's also true, right? It's also like the other discussion of, would you rather be 3-0 up in a Stanley Cup playoffs and lose 4-3 or... You know, what would you rather,
what's less painful?
Yeah. What's the less painful way to go out, right? Get swept or be up 3-0 and lose 4-3, right? So
I think this game will be obviously much closer than Germany-Brazil. That's not saying much.
Yeah, of course.
Extra time wouldn't surprise me. A plodding game, maybe someone nicks a goal here or there. Maybe Oscar comes in with a header or Van Persie has a, Robin a deep strike late. I think it'll be a close competitive game. Who wins? Who knows? Who cares, really?
In a way. I'm going to throw a guess out here. I'm going to say Holland 2, Brazil 1.
I'll reverse it and say that Brazil tries to save a little bit of face here. Hopefully they don't make me look bad again.
All right, Robbie. It's the big one. Germany, Argentina in the final of the World Cup. What is your prediction and why?
I think the game on paper... I'm thrilled by it. It was a matchup I kind of hoped to see at the start of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We both agreed, Maddie, on paper, the Germans were the best team, the most complete team, the most dominant team. For the most part, save for a few hiccups, they've shown that along the way. Argentina, yeah, they haven't looked great to you or the average fan's eye test, but my eye test says won every single game. My eye test says Lionel Messi, at worst, is the 1B best player in the world, possibly 1A, and he's still in this game, and he's playing well, and he's carrying the mail for this team. I think it sets up a really juicy final of perhaps the best player in the world against the best team in the world.
Yeah,
and I think almost every casual fan is going to find a way to cheer on one or the other, and I don't think there's going to be as much to separate this as most people think. The Germany-Brazil was clearly a result that is completely off everyone's radar. Brazil just lost the plot for, in 300 seconds, lost the semifinal, basically.
Right.
And you look at what Argentina's done, they've gotten by, but they've gotten by every time. They're the only team that's won every single game. I do think your German pick is going to come through. I just think they have more options than Argentina. I think it's going to take a fantastic effort from Messi. Do we know if Di Maria is going to be back?
I don't believe so, no.
Yeah, so that even hurts them even further. You know, Aguero's been dinged. Higuain's been up and down like a yo-yo. Great one half, awful the next. It's so much coming through Messi. Kind of like what's going on with Brazil and Neymar. Obviously, I'm not comparing Neymar to Messi or, even the solidity of the Brazil team to Argentina's. I think Argentina's superior in both of those facets. But you saw what Germany did to Brazil. I expect them to do something to Argentina. It's not going to be anywhere near as convincing. 2-1, maybe 3-1 late if Argentina's pushing for that goal to try to tie the game. I have the Germans winning.
Yeah, I do agree. My pick for the World Cup, I do believe they will win this game. A few reasons. I think the Di Maria absence for Argentina is a big one. I think he was missed against the Netherlands. I don't think Di Maria's had a good tournament from what he's played, but I think he was getting better as the tournament progressed, and I think they're going to miss him here. I think they looked a little challenged at times going forward, Argentina, against Holland. Although, I have to admit my mistake that Higuain actually has played very well the last two games.
Yeah, ever since you bagged on him.
Essentially, in the last
show. Do it again, maybe.
Last show,
upset.
I ripped on him, and he played the quarters and semifinals since and has played quite well. So Argentina, I think they are getting better as the tournament progresses, but Germany are just too good for me. Thomas Müller has been lights out this tournament. André Schürrle's had a great tournament. You still got Schweinsteiger. I have to also give some credit to Sami Khedira, who had a nightmare in the Champions League final and has had a great World Cup. Even, he scored against Brazil. Germany.
I think
just,
you scored against Brazil. Everyone did.
Yeah, who didn't, right? I mean, surprised Neuer didn't score either. Also, just a side note, I mean, Neuer has had a really good tournament as well. So I just think overall, Germany are just the best. They've been the best team in this tournament. They're going to be the best team come Sunday. They're going to win this game. 3-1 Germany.
So you would agree with me saying there's a lot of people expecting yet another blowout here. This is going to be a much closer game than most people think.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
it's a World Cup final here.
7-1 is an anomaly still.
Yeah.
It's not something you see. We've never seen that before.
No.
So it's not something we're going to just suddenly... People just think we're going to see it again, Sunday. Like, it's not going to happen. Overall, for me, Germany are just a better all-rounded team. They look great at the back. Mats Hummels, I told you before, he's my favorite center half in the world, and he's had a brilliant. He's scored. Yeah, he's been great. He's defended. He's done everything. He might be player of the tournament to some people, and I cannot argue against that.
I got James Rodriguez or Mueller if he has a big final.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think Hummels is maybe a top five player in this tournament for how well he's played. So Germany 3-1. They're too good across the board. Argentina, good side, just not going to get it done against a superior German team.
The one thing Argentina obviously has going for them is with perhaps the best player in the world, you always have that puncher's chance. If they can keep things close, like, you know, I said the same thing to you with Algeria, Germany. If you keep it tied 30, 35th minute.
First goal in this game is going to be huge. Massive. If Germany go up, I think we could maybe see a 3-0 runaway kind of train. Whereas I think if Argentina go up 1-0, I think you might see Germany really start to press and then Argentina maybe hit them on the counter attack. So I think, I mean, obviously the first goal is always big in any game, but I think in this World Cup with the way these two teams play and how it could potentially evolve the final, I think it's massive. But I think Germany are going to get this job done this week.
I agree. It's still going to be closer than most people care to admit it's going to be. But when I find a matchup like this, Matt, that's so close, yeah, like you like to err on the side of the best player, but I say this question to you before we sign off.
What's better, a better team or a better player?
Yeah, and if both teams play their top game, who wins? The Germans win.
Exactly.
They control like their destiny here. They need to have a slip up, and Argentina needs to play a little bit above their level to reverse this. So hopefully we see the best of the Germans and the best of the Argentinians and let the chips fall where they may.
Yes, sir.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week to recap both the third place game and the World Cup final. And put, I guess, one final bow, Matt, on all of our World Cup coverage, summarize some of the things that caught our eye and maybe some things that some others have missed. Thanks for listening to Footy Roundup. We'll be back with you next week.